Welcome back to the Real Estate Rockstars podcast. Today's guest is the most recognized face and voice in real estate video, none other than Glenda Baker. Out of Atlanta, Georgia, she is the team leader of the Diamond Squad, which is an all-female real estate team. Glenda is 57 years old and crushing it as a social media influencer on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, while also being a well-respected thought leader throughout our industry. Expect to learn a simple framework for creating viral content, gift giving ideas that you have never thought of before, the number one biggest problem in our industry and how to solve it. Plus, stick around to the end if you want to find out what I did year one that led to 48 transactions in Rookie of the Year. And it turns out Glenda did the exact same thing. And she also credits it as to why she was so successful out the gate. It's a twinning moment. Okay, guys, have you checked out our YouTube channel yet? Have you subscribed? Have you commented on everything? If not, now is a great time to do so. And also check out the link in our show notes for our 2025 Real Estate Rockstars Mastermind. Slots are filling up, so you gotta lock yours in today. And last thing, if you hear something, see something that you think could be done differently or better, or there's like a guest or a specific topic that you want me to dig into, let me know on the gram at The Shelby Show. And now, rock stars, please welcome Glenda Baker. Glenda, if you were starting over today, what would you do?
Well, I'll tell you, I would definitely put myself out on social media. That's something that I wish I had done even before I did it. But if I was starting as a new agent today, I would get to know everything I could about real estate in my area. And then I would take that knowledge to video, because nothing accelerates credibility faster than proof. And you have the ability to control the narrative for your community. If you're not doing that from day one, you're letting somebody else do it. But you gotta have the chops to back that up. So make a triangle. Here's where you live. Here's where you work. Here's where you spend the most time. Know everything about real estate in that triangle. And if you do, when somebody asks you about real estate, you'll be able to speak intelligently.
Okay, tips or advice on how to get to know everything within that triangle?
Don't just depend on the MLS sheet. Pick up the phone, call the listing agent and say, "Hey, Susie, this is Glenda. I was calling about your listing on 123 Banana Street. What can you tell me that's not in MLS? Where are your people going? Why did they buy it? What's the best thing about it? Can you give me five things that they love about it?" And then that way you can take copious notes about 123 Banana Street. And then when you go to the PTA meeting or you're playing tennis at the in the neighborhood, and somebody says, "Oh, you're in real estate." "Yes, I am in real estate. Do you know that house 123 Banana Street?" You can actually tell them something that they won't find on Zillow, that they won't find from another agent, because you took the time to pick up the phone and call the agent.
Okay, perfect. So putting in the legwork up front to really dig in and find things deeper than surface level, which gives you stuff to have authentic conversations with people when given the opportunity. So essentially prepare. And then when those moments present themselves to you, you have something of value to say. And question with that, so your advice too is you're digging in and you're getting to know these things, and then you are directly sharing that on social media. But I know that's like intimidating and scary and for so many reasons, and you are a freaking rock star on anything video. So what advice do you have for someone who's getting started on socials today?
Start on live video with a series from your car. So is it talks from the Tesla? Is it tips from the Tahoe? Is it real estate from the Rover? Pick a series that you can do in your car. You know, if it's, you know, minutes from the Mercedes or whatever, what you want to do is you want to come to people in real life, in real time about real estate. And if you do it live, it doesn't give you the opportunity to hold it up. Oh yeah, I don't like my hair. Oh, I look fat today. I don't sound good. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do video today. If you just do it live, it takes all of that out. And it also creates like this little series. Like mine is posts from the Porsche. Like it's a little series that your audience, your viewers will watch and it'll spread.
And when I'm talking about, am I just talking about anything and everything real estate related? Am I like sharing a day in the life? Like basically what should I be talking about in my series?
What would you tell your best friend about real estate? What would you tell your best client about real estate? And what would you tell your therapist about real estate? Those are three buckets that if you literally just use those three buckets, and then when you're making the videos, you think about, I want to inform people, I want to inspire people, and I want to impact people. That will give you the framework to really put together a great video series and to give you some confidence on video.
When did you get started on video?
Oh, my stars and stripes. Okay, just sit down. So I did my first live video and I called it Glenda Live, and it was in 2016, and I was sweaty because I was in my office and I was having a 50 flash, I'm sure. And you could see I was so like sweaty in this video, and I had on this dress and it had this paisley print, and the paisley was pink over my boobs. They looked like cow udders. It was so bad. I look back at that video today and I'm just like, oh girl. Oh, honey, bless your heart. But I started in 2016 with that. And then I got whacked out with an inspector and jumped on Facebook Live in 2017 and said, you won't believe what this inspector said. If you hire an inspector and they say this, you should get a different inspector. And one of my friends said, you should call this post from the Porsche. And so I started doing these little lives posts from the Porsche, but it was in 2020 when I went to a conference. I saw my friend Zachary Faust had done a video about his client that bought a car between contract and closing, and it got him declined for the loan. And he had 43,000 views on that video. And I remember looking at my friend Sergio and saying, if that guy can do video, I can do video. And I came back to Atlanta and started a TikTok channel. But that was in February of 2020. And I didn't post my first video until October 7th.
Okay, so you've done all of this growth from essentially October of 2020 until now. Can you talk us through, because if someone went online and just stalks you now, they are like, she's so far ahead. That's so out of reach that like, it's, I don't know, possibly discouraging to them. So could you talk through like the timeline of your traction in socials?
So October 7th, I had 122 followers and I started posting on Tuesday and Thursday, and by January 1st of 2021, I had 100,000 followers. Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy.
And so think about that. That's really like November, December, like that's like literally 90 days. And I hadn't even had a video at that point in time, you know, go viral, as they say. I'd had a couple of videos that had reached like 100,000 views, but not anything that had gotten into the millions. And then I posted a video about the total cost to own. You know, do you understand that your mortgage payment is not everything that you pay when you buy a house? I talked about buying the least expensive house in the most expensive neighborhood. And then I did a video about Evander Holyfield, and that here he made all this money and he had this beautiful home, but his landscaping budget or his landscaping bill was $1 million a year. And that the cost to sustain the house, he couldn't keep it. And so he lost that house. And it was those three videos, and those three videos hit like January, February, March. And they, and then I did one about Jay-Z wearing a lot of, that he used to wear a lot of jewelry, now he wears none. And it was really those four videos back to back to back that got over 1 million views that really turned up the volume.
Looking back now, hindsight 2020, what do you believe was the, what is like the secret formula? Is there a secret formula about why those took off? And do you just like replicate that now within your business? Because I know listeners are like, man, I just want to create a couple videos that really resonate and really pick up traction. How do I do that?
So for me, the formula is real, relatable, reliable, and relevant. And I'm a 57-year-old real estate agent in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm not selling $100 million homes. I'm not selling like, you know, penthouses to the president. Like, that's not what I'm selling. I'm selling regular houses, you know, like Bobby and Susie buy, like, you know, the everyday person. And I think that just being so honest about, number one, about the real estate process, and number two, really being transparent about the struggles that I had, the mistakes that I made as a real estate agent, the mistakes that I made when, you know, I didn't have good credit. I had filed bankruptcy. I had gotten divorced. I couldn't buy a house. I was afraid to tell anybody that because I was ashamed and embarrassed. And because I wouldn't tell anybody, there was nobody was helping me get my credit better. And so I think that just sharing those types of stories with my audience, they were like, oh, wait a minute, she's just like us. So whether it was Bobby and Susie and the average Joe, buyer or seller, they were like, oh, she's just like us. We relate to her. If it was an agent that, you know, had pissed all of their money away, like they were like, oh, wait a minute, she's made those mistakes too. And I think that that really was what kind of attracted the audience to me.
Yeah, I love what you said in the beginning about what would you tell your therapist was like one of the things. And I was like, I've never heard that before. And it makes sense about why people would want to watch and continue watching, because it is so raw, real, and vulnerable. Like even listening to you saying like, I wasn't sharing about my bankruptcy and divorce and all those things, like just imagining it, you know, sharing that, like that's scary. And it's really cool that you were able to put yourself out there. And I know, yeah, that makes sense about why people resonated with that. And I'm curious, so your business now, what percent comes from social media, and what was your marketing strategy before picking up video?
So about 30% of my business comes from, it's triggered by social media. And that means that a buyer or seller or an investor saw me on social media. They did not know me prior to, and they picked up the phone and called me and did business with me. It also includes agents all over the world that have no idea who I am. They've never met me, but they follow me on social media and they've sent agent to agent referrals. About 30% of my business comes directly from social media. And you've got to keep in mind, I didn't post but two videos a week for the first 90 days. Like that, because I was only able to make 8 or 12 videos the one time that I sat down and shot videos. So I only had a certain amount. So I was posting like 2 or 3 times a week. So it's not that you have to do it every single day, but you do have to do it consistently. And the formula is to tell them what we think that buyers and sellers know everything that we do. And that's not the case. I'm not walking around in a septic field in my stilettos. This is not Selling Sunset down here. Like, I'm just telling you that right now. And you owe it to your buyer, your seller, to tell them what really happens in real estate. That's what they want to see.
Do you ever struggle with I've already said this before. I've already created this before, because that's something that I hear frequently where it's like, I've already put out this information and it feels weird and repetitive to continue telling the same story. Do you ever struggle with that?
No, I don't struggle with it, because just because 1,000 people saw it when I posted it back in October, it could be a completely different 1,000 people that see it today. And that's what I want agents to really understand, is you owe it to your audience. You owe it to the people that you do business with. You owe it to your community to tell the truth about real estate, to show where the value in a real estate agent is. So I really want to make sure that agents, you know, it's not about virality and vanity. I don't need to see you standing by the rented Maybach. That is not going to help you buy or sell a house. What will help you is showing a buyer the pitfalls of buying a fixer-upper, or showing a seller how they could get more money if they would just invest a little bit in updating the light fixtures, those kinds of things.
Okay, so 30% of your business was triggered by socials, and that, to based on what you said, buyers, sellers, investors, people who saw you on socials who you didn't know, or referrals, came in as like essentially like cold. They don't know you. They're just pure leads. Where's the other percentage? Are they like nurture off socials, or are you actually doing a different marketing strategy?
Past clients, sphere of influence is huge, 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 huge for me. And I do a lot of agent to agent referrals, but I have a very robust sphere of influence gifting program. In fact, that was probably the thing that I was known for before all of this video stuff was, giving people cupcakes for their birthday and anniversary gifts and picture frames and baby blankets. And so the majority of my business is SOI and past client.
I love that. And are you still doing the gifting? Are cupcakes,
oh my,
the anniversary
course,
gifts?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're a gift girl.
All day, every day, and twice on Sunday. So this is the thing, is that, you know, it is not stalking your clients on social media. When they post something, when somebody posts that Timmy graduated from kindergarten, when somebody posts it was their anniversary, when somebody posts it was their birthday, trust me, they want you to know that. They want you to know that. And you acknowledging that, that surprise and delight moves you from service provider into relationship with your clients. And today, more than ever, you need to be in relationship with your clients, because as a service provider, you are worthless. You can be replaced.
And actually, that's probably a really good segue to go into about how real estate agents maybe today are able to show and demonstrate their value, not just be a vendor, but also be like a valuable contributor to the transaction. And you mentioned before we hit record, like control the narrative. So what are your thoughts on that?
So today your video can be used to show your value and make you visible. And that's really where I want agents to focus when they're doing video, is what is the value that you're bringing to the transaction? If I see one more video or one more post that says, I sold 123 Banana Street in 4 hours for $400,000 over the list price with 40 different offers, I'm literally going to reach through my laptop and rip somebody's lungs out. You have zero value if that is what you are putting out there. What you need to be talking about is, how did you negotiate 40 offers? How do you go through 40 offers? How do you advise a client with 40 different offers? How did you help that client get that house ready? Where is that client going? Bobby and Susie, their kids graduated from high school. They're right sizing. They don't need that 5-bedroom house with a basement anymore. They're now right sizing to something that they can live out the rest of their days. Talk about how you helped Bobby and Susie get from point A to point B. It's not about you. That's what people don't understand when they're making videos, is they're like, look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm so wonderful. I've done this. I'm number one. Nobody wants to hear that. They want, and you can't say just listed. That's once upon a time. You can't say just sold. That's the end. Where is the story in the middle of the just listed and the just sold? That is where your value in video can be amazing.
Yeah, so much. That's such a repetitive, it's a theme that I've been hearing more and more from people who are crushing it. It's like, it's not about just posting to post. It's totally the art of storytelling. Like, what is the problem? How did you guys overcome it together? What is the solution? And sharing that journey is what is so compelling as well.
Right. And it's what's relatable. And think about it. When I'm talking to someone and I'm saying, I stood in fear for 3 years. I had filed bankruptcy. I had late payments on my credit. My car had been repossessed. And rather than going to a lender and saying, what are the first steps that I can take to get my credit better, to improve my credit, to repair my credit, I stood 3 years paralyzed by embarrassment and shame. And that is what people want to understand, is how can you help them and how are you like them? Not you're some, you know, fancy real estate lady driving a Porsche and, you know, you sold a $5 million house. Who gives a shit about that? Nobody cares about that. They want to know how I helped the buyer or the seller achieve their real estate goals.
So now, is the art of storytelling like really natural to you? Like, I'm curious about what your storytelling, your video process looks like now. We know in the beginning it was 2 times a week, you know, but what does it look like now?
So, well, obviously I don't have any problem talking. I mean, I love to talk, and I have always told my life by story. Like, I don't know if it's me and I like to be able to imagine it and take myself back to that moment, but the story of someone's life is so much more compelling than you going in and you giving facts. But you've got to hit the points in the story that are really important. So a lot of times when I'm distracted, I'll miss the mark. You've got to have that hook. What was the problem or what was the solution? How did I help Bobby and Susie go from their 5-bedroom house in the suburbs to the penthouse apartment in downtown Atlanta? And why did they go there? And every time I have an idea, I have a little thing on my phone and it says video ideas, and it's a Google Doc. It's a Google Doc. It's literally that simple. So when I have an idea, I just write it down right there. What was the inspiration for that idea? And then what do I want to say about it? So I put my whole little caption and summary right there. I push submit. It goes into my Google Sheet. I open up my laptop and I record the videos. And you don't have to have a production team. You literally can record them from your phone. I almost prefer my posts from the Porsche, just because it's in the moment, it's in real time. I'm not having to wait 30 days to get it back. So don't let production quality or sound quality or any of that. Speak from your heart and be real with your audience, and they will embrace you.
You mentioned a production team. So listeners, they're like, yes, I'm going to do the post from the Porsche. I'm going to let it fly, go live. But also, if I do want to go towards more of an edited route with a production team, like, what does your behind the scenes look like?
Yeah, so I shoot video content one day a month. I typically shoot 30 to 50 videos in a span of about 4 hours. And then I have those all in my video bank, and I just post them. I try to post every single day.
And for you, what is the hardest part? Is there a hard part in this?
Still, even for me, the hardest part is, do I look stupid on the video? Like, did I messed up the word? Like, Glenda, how did you mess up that word? Or I stuttered, or like today, my hair's a little bit flat. You know, I mean, the same thing that everybody struggles with, that is my struggle. But if you put it in your calendar when you're going to post, and you bank content when you feel like making content, then if you will do those two things, that will get you 90% of the way.
And I do like how you touched on the fact that you absolutely still do gifts, because I do think that there are, you know, probably imaginings of your life and, you know, oh, it must be so easy, business falling out of the sky. But you mentioned 30% of your business comes from your social media, but you are still putting in the activities to maintain the relationships with your spheres and gift and stay in touch and be really purposeful with your relationships. So I think that that is a really valuable takeaway as well.
Yeah, being intentional. And this is the thing. So, and I have like a suite of gifts. So we do cupcakes, we do baby blankets, we do picture frames, and then we do like Tiffany glasses and bottles of wine. And just let me go ahead and tell you, if it has your name on it, it's not a gift, it's marketing. So Bobby and Susie have a baby. They say, welcome to the world, Mateo. We have a boy blanket. We have Mateo embroidered on it, and then we hand drop it. If they post a picture, a family photo, I'm telling you, listen to me now. This weekend is going to be the absolute best weekend to get photos, because everybody will post an Easter photo. They'll look nice. They'll be at church. Nobody's crying. Grab that photo and frame it. You can get a beautiful picture frame at Hobby Lobby or Z Gallery or TJ Maxx and print it and then have it framed and drop that off. Do you know people do not print photos anymore? So when you drop off a framed photo, where are they going to put it? On the mantle. What are they going to look at every single day? Who are they going to think about? You. You are moving from service provider into relationship. Every time that baby holds that blanket, they're going to say, our great real estate agent, Glenda, gave us this blanket. And so that's where you want to be. Now, I give food. My name is Glenda Baker. I like baked goods. Now, John Rulon, the author of Giftology, he does not think you should give food. And I had a disagreement with this, with him about this on his podcast. And my thing is, and I think I'm very valid, and I even think I brought him around to my way of thinking, and that is the first thing that your mother tells you is don't take food from a stranger. Once somebody accepts food from you, you are no longer a stranger. If that food tastes good, they associate you with that. And anytime that you have the opportunity to have an event in your home or in your office and serve food, once somebody crosses the threshold of your home, you are no longer a service provider. They are in relationship with you. And that's really what we strive for.
Those are really good nuggets. The Easter photos, the food. And you talked about gifts. Do you have any other things that have worked really well for you in transferring from the service provider into the relationship that you want to be in?
So anything that you can do to keep yourself present in the house with the house. So we do a home Bible, and that home Bible has all of the documents from contract to closing. It has all of their closing documents, but also we encourage them, any improvements that they do, any money that they spend on their house, that they put it in that notebook. We also send them a digital part of that notebook to start it. So they have it digitized, and then they have it a hard copy, and it's done newest to oldest. So they just put it in there. And then that way it really helps them keep track. All of their records are in one place. And on the front of it, it has a picture of their home when they bought it, and it has that it's from us. So it's something that really sticks, and we'll see people pull it out when we go on a listing appointment of a house that we sold them. So it's so cool to see that.
I'm like, you are totally setting yourself up in the long run for when you come back to list that home. It's like, here's everything that you would want to need to know. It's like, awesome.
So. Yeah, it. I'm telling you, it is absolutely one of the best things that we do. And think about it. If you're going to sell your house, and you have either forgotten about your real estate agent, you've never reached out to your real estate agent, think about it. When you pull that book out, the first thing you're going to think about is, oh, Glenda Baker, that great real estate agent. We got to call her back. And all my contact info is right there.
So good. Anything else? I don't want to skip over these nuggets. Like, do you have any other little gems like that?
Well, I'll tell you, if you're living in a community, so you live in Cottonwood Estates, if you're not making your home central to activities in the neighborhood. So I'll give you this is something that I learned from my good friend in Canada, Taylor, is that he has the Halloween house. So he has a margarita machine, he has a hot chocolate station, and he has this huge spider thing in front of his house. And it's like the spider that everybody takes a picture in front of and posts on Instagram. And he has a drawing for that. And the thing about it is that people only think about him in that neighborhood. Even though there's five other real estate agents that live in the neighborhood, nobody is making their home or that community central like he is. You know, if you're doing a 4th of July parade, anything that you can have at your home or in your community, always, 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 that is huge.
So good. Okay, Glenda, before we hit record, you were talking a little bit about your passion for women in real estate. So could you tell us a little bit about your team and maybe where that passion came from?
Well, I have an all-female team here in Atlanta called the Diamond Squad. And, you know, Elizabeth has been with me 23 years. So it's me, Elizabeth, congrats, Eveline, and my daughter, Victoria. And Eveline and Elizabeth have been with me 7 years. So we work really, truly as a team. There is no competition between us. It is us against the world. And we're here to jump in if anybody needs help or anybody needs anything. So I've had men on my team before, but I am a big proponent of women. And maybe because I've been divorced, maybe because I was a single mother, maybe because I saw my mom raise me as a single mother. But I want to do everything I can so that, number one, so that women in business can get ahead, but also so that no woman is ever forced to stay somewhere and can't get out because they don't have the financial means, they don't have the independence. So anything that I can do to help women really gain that independence and have the ability to stand on their own, that's so dear to my heart.
And what are you working on now? You have so much, like, you've been in the industry for years, you're crushing it on video, you're helping women. What does the near target future hold for you?
Well, lots of things. I'm interviewing for a television show on Monday and doing some different things I have Glitter and Gay, my podcast with Tyler Whitman, that we release every Tuesday. And it's a little bit about real estate, but mostly about real life. And I'm going to continue to do my videos and talk to real estate agents and raise up, level up the agents in our industry and really work hard to show the consumer, show the buyer and the seller that we are really a valuable piece in the dream of homeownership, that we can't be replaced and we can't get rid of us. So there's lots of good things, but I have a podcast coming out called The Voice on Real Estate, and it starts to air right after tax day. So I'm all excited about that.
Okay, perfect. You mentioned being passionate about making a difference in our industry, and I'm curious, what do you view as the biggest problem within our industry from, you know, the agent's perspective or abilities?
That the bar to entry is so low, that it is the easiest license to get, but the hardest business to make any money in. And I have a little mastermind called Greatness with Glenda, and it's a small group of agents, and we brainstorm about how we can get better, because that is the the worst real estate agents are highly overpaid and the best real estate agents are highly undervalued. And what's so crazy to me is that the person who is not good at all, whether they've been in it 3 days or 3 years or 30 years, the people that suck get paid the same amount as I get paid. That's what blows my mind. The rookie does not get paid the same amount as LeBron. Like, I mean, that's the thing that kills me. So I really, really, really want to see our industry make an effort to raise the quality of the agent up. And I really think that that's the biggest hole in our industry, because you've got people who don't know what they're doing and they're telling everybody they're a real estate agent. So those of us who really do know what we're doing, if you've had a bad experience, you think we're all like that. So I want to have everybody be the Michael Jordan of real estate, not just me.
Do you have any recommendations or thoughts on how you think we should do that as an agent, as a industry, how we can raise the quality of our agents?
I think personally myself, I think that there should be a minimum standard of income, a minimum standard of transactions, because this is the thing, is that if you go and get your license to be a pilot and you never take off and you never land, even if you've had your license 30 years, you probably suck at the takeoff and the landing. Very similar to real estate agents. If you've had your license 5 years and you haven't sold but three houses, your proficiency to interpret the contract, understand the value of a house, protect your buyer or your seller is very low. And I really feel strongly that there should be a minimum standard of production for everybody to be able to call yourself a real estate agent. Because I mean, I'm sure you do too. The people that suck, I mean, you've got to do their job. They're more of a, it's not that you just have to do their job. It's just they're more likely to throw us off track than anything. So I wish I could get rid of the people who have a license that don't sell anything.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to think about. It's like, how do we fix that problem? Because I do agree. I do agree. And I remember even my first year, I did 48 transactions my first year. And I remember having agents, you know, call me and be like, well, I've been in the industry for 17 years. You know, they always try to like use that line. And it's, you know, if you pull them up in the MLS, it's just hard to interact in an industry where, you're right, the production levels aren't the same, where it's like we're all equals, and yet our experiences, our competency, our ability to serve clients is vastly different.
Yeah, I mean, you think about Steph Curry. Steph Curry does 500 three-point shots just in practice every single day. Think about, as a real estate agent, if you just had to write one dummy contract every single day and get it graded by your lender, by your attorney, by your broker, like, I mean, that in itself would really weed out the riffraff, because how many contracts have you seen that have been written like shit? I mean, it's just, that's the thing, is like just those minimal things to make. I don't need another class on code of ethics. And this is the thing that kills me, is the people who are going to like be shiesty there, it doesn't matter if they take the code of ethics class, they're still going to be shady, right? Whereas if you graded people on their ability to write a contract, their ability to interpret a CMA, like, that's what's going to show you who is a good real estate agent, for God's sake.
And I'm curious, so Glenda, with you, you're a thought leader in our industry. You're definitely looked upon as a leader. And how are you staying, like, how do you stay on top of your own personal development? Like, what content are you intaking? What books do you read? Or how do you keep yourself at top level?
So I was at a mastermind on Monday with a group of, you know, highly productive agents. Anytime that I have the ability to get into a room and just absorb and consume knowledge, that, I mean, I I love to learn. I was the last kid picked on the playground. I barely got out of high school, but I love, 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 love to learn. And it really blows my mind that agents are just sitting at home, not doing anything, not taking in content that would help them. I sit down with my lender. I sit down with my attorney. I sit down with my broker and ask them, what are you seeing? What are the biggest problems? And those are the things that I want to know. People talk about, why would you go into the office? Because, you know, nobody's doing any business. They're just talking around the water cooler. Well, if you surround yourself with people that are doing business around the water cooler, you'd be surprised how much you'd learn. This girl, she's just got into real estate. She's had her license 3 days. She comes to my caravan yesterday. Yeah, yesterday's Tuesday. She comes to my caravan yesterday, and she hears me and another experienced agent talking about a listing appointment that we both had. She went on the listing appointment, and I went on the listing appointment. Neither one of us got it. That girl said, I learned more in the last 30 minutes than I learned in my entire real estate class. And that is where the agents that are experienced, like you did 48 transactions. You took off and landed a lot of times for somebody who was their first year in business. You probably could teach anybody how to sell real estate properly because you've done it so much and you didn't need to do it for 30 years. Oh, you know, honey, I've been doing this 30 years. You know, now that little offer you sent over, Jesus Christ, please shut up. That's the thing is the more you do it, the more proficient you are at it. And that's what I want to see is us all share because that's where I'm going. I'm going around the people that are, I go to conferences, I get in rooms with brokers from other companies. Do not stick to your own brokerage. Go to masterminds with brokers and agents from all companies because everybody's doing it different and you could learn how to do it better. And that's why I think that you should just open yourself up to high production and high producing people.
Yeah, I love that. To loop it back to, 48, your first year, a lot of people are like, how did you do that? And one of the things that was most impactful to me was I was at Keller Williams at the time. I went to one class and it was just slow paced and I felt like I didn't get everything that I needed. Like it wasn't real time data. It was like from a book, it felt like. And so after that class, I went to the CEO of the Keller Williams office I was at, and I was like, can you pull like the production list? Who are the top performers in this firm? And I took the top five and I tracked them down, called them, you know, stalked them like, hey, can I, and I didn't ask for them to train me because I knew that that would take time and energy and they don't want to do that. I was like, can I just exist where you exist? Can I ride in the car with you on the way to a listing appointment? Can I sit there quietly? Can I listen to your phone calls? Can I stand over your desk and watch like the emails you're sending? Can you CC me on that? And it's those literally the first 30 days, I learned so much more just by doing exactly what you said, like finding the people who are doing it and absorbing. And then after you've absorbed that, I absorbed their years of lessons learned each. Implementing is a lot easier after that.
What year was it that was your first year?
2018.
Okay. So sit down. 1992, September 4th, I get into the business. I find the number one agent in the office. I move my cubicle over outside of her door. She had a private office. I move my seat over to outside of that girl's door. I listen to her talk on the phone to her clients. She needs a coffee. She needs a sign put up. She needed a lockbox. She needed flyers taken to her listing. I did every bit of grunt work. I listened to that girl talk for 3 months. And I will tell you right now, that was the biggest education I ever got in real estate because this is not brain surgery. You do not need to learn how to reinvent the wheel. Like find the people that are doing it the best at the level that you want and people that you can see yourself being that person. Because that right there, absolutely the best advice. And it didn't change from 1992 to 2018, the same exact strategy.
Dude, and it works. I'll tell you.
Yeah. Worked all day long.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Glenda, we talked about a lot. What did we not hit on that you want to share with our listeners?
I would probably say now more than ever, you're going to have to understand how to communicate your value as a real estate agent. And it is not from pulling houses on the MLS. Your buyer has access to what comes on the market. Your seller knows how much 123 Banana Street sold for. It's not just the consumption of data, but it's the interpretation of the data and understanding why that house sold for more than this house. Why did house A sell for more than house B when they're just alike? Or why was someone willing to pay this for a house and nobody was willing to pay for that? That is where your value is going to be, to speak confidently, to provide clarity, to provide certainty, and then to be able to transfer that confidence to your buyer or your seller to make an investment in you as a real estate professional so you can help them.
Love. Okay, Glenda, we're heading to wrap up. Wrap up question number one. What is your favorite app or tool?
Google Sheets. I'm telling you, Google Drive is highly underrated. I don't have to pay for it monthly. I'm not tethered to it. I own all of my data. I don't have to worry about a subscription or a credit card payment. Google Drive. If you are not you putting everything in Google Drive, you're missing the boat.
Totally. And in the beginning, I used to have so many things on my desktop, like Word documents, PowerPoints, all of that stuff. But like having the ability to have the Google Doc on your phone and on your computer, like sync seamlessly, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about the video ideas. That's a Google form. It goes into a Google form, into a sheet. I open up the laptop and go straight down. Praise the Lord and pass the money. I mean, come on now.
Glenda, what events are you going to in the next 12 months?
What events am I going to in the next 12 months? So I go to Tom Ferry's Summit. I go to Inman Connect in Las Vegas. And I am actually speaking at the Las Vegas Realtors Forum in August. So I'll go to those events. A couple of things that I'll go to that aren't real estate related. I will go to a Brendan Bruchard conference. I like to go to conferences that are not real estate specific because I think that you can learn. Maybe you can take away something that you can apply to your real estate business. And there's not a bunch of real estate agents there. It just opens you up to a completely different group.
Totally agree. The Traffic and Conversion Summit I went to in January, which is like a digital marketing fest, it like blew my mind. It was amazing. So totally with you on that one. Glenda, how can listeners help you in your business?
Well, you can help me by sending, if you know anybody that wants to buy or sell or invest in Atlanta, Georgia, my team and I would love, love, love to help you. You can always find me, Glenda Baker, GLENNDA, Glenda Baker, hashtag Google Glenda. I've trained Google that you only need to put in my first name to find me. So whatever platform you're on, you can find me there and send me a referral. Think about me. And if I can ever help you, I would love the opportunity.
Oh, you stole my thunder. My next question was, where can people find you? But you nailed it. You are all over the internet. So guys, go and show her all the love in the world. So Glenda, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It has been so fun hanging out with you.
Thank you. I am honored that you allowed me to talk to your audience. You have an amazing audience. I am a member of your Facebook group. And I got to tell you, it is one of my absolute favorite groups to be in.
You're the best. Awesome. Well, Real Estate Rockstars, thanks for listening.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.